What's up, wrestling fans? Welcome to another special pay-per-view point edition of the Smarkout Moment Smack Talk podcast. This is the WWE Hell in a Cell 2016 pay-per-view post-show, where I'm going to be recapping my thoughts on the event, giving my opinions about what just transpired, and anything else that I need to bring up. I am your host, as always, Tony Mango, and I'm going to start this off with the start of the night. Per usual, we have the pre-show. The pre-show consisted of a bunch of different things, although one thing was missing from there that I am very disappointed that they didn't throw into the card, which was Sami Zayn versus Braun Strowman. I don't understand why this match wasn't booked, because they set it up ahead of time, and we didn't get a match on Monday Night Raw, and these are two big enough stars that they should have been a part of the event, so kind of annoys me that they didn't end up having that match, especially because we had the normal, usual recap stuff and nothing really all that entertaining in there, except for one thing, which was the New Day on the social media lounge. They were, you know, calling Tom Phillips a shrimp, telling him that he needed to work out, cracking jokes the entire time, making it real uncomfortable for him. It was really fucking funny. I loved the whole thing where they started referencing Five, and Big E was like, yeah, I need five. That was a gimmick that I used to have back in NXT. I used to be the champion. You probably don't remember that kind of thing. I thought that they were hilarious. So you dock some points for no Braun Strowman and Sami Zayn match. You win some points back for the New Day social media lounge things. And then you win a little bit more points for the six-man tag team match, because I enjoyed that quite a bit. It wasn't one of the best matches of the night, but it did its purpose, which was basically just to kick off everything with some kind of a standard match that you can skip if you don't really want to watch it, and it doesn't really matter all that much, but at the same time, if you do watch it, then you get a little bit of enjoyment out of it. A couple people that I were watching it with, almost nobody knew who any of these people were except for me, because I have to pay more attention, but out of about 8 or 9 or 10 of us, I can't remember, there were maybe like one person saying that they knew Sin Cara. Obviously, I mean, people knew Sin Cara, but like one person was like, oh, Daivari, isn't that the guy from before, and like that kind of thing. So when they show these people more people get aware of them, and more people can actually end up having fun with that. By the end of the match, most of the people were like, oh, damn, I actually should check out the Cruiserweight division. So there you go. You show them more, people watch them more, people enjoy it more. It works. So got to give them a thumbs up when it comes to that match, even though I would have probably rather preferred, as far as storyline goes, Strowman versus Zayn. Although I think that they actually could have added that into the pre-show without needing to cut that match too, because you know how I feel about the whole video packages and, like, for instance, Kevin Owens later on in the night, I think it was, like, after the first match, I can't remember for sure, but he did a promo where it was the standard thing of, like, do you think you're going to win? Yeah, I think that I'm going to win. Okay, back to you guys. Actually, they don't even do the okay, back to you guys. They just stand there awkwardly with the microphone. I fucking hate that, too. So I hate it when they do those things for the pre-show, because why waste your time? But that was the pre-show. We started off the night with the first Hell in a Cell match. The United States Championship was defended. Rusev and Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns comes out on top with that one. A couple notes that I had written down here. Lana with her hair down always looks so much better. And that black top that she had on too. Oh man, she was looking so hot. The Cell immediately looked off to me in some way. And I couldn't quite place it until they started the match. But when they were lowering it, I said to everybody, I was like, is this like a different Cell or something? Because something's weird. And it ended up being that the Cell was really close to the ring ropes. I don't know why that's necessarily the case, why that ended up being a choice that they made, or if it's like something that was built just specifically for a couple of the spots later on. Maybe it's because they wanted to make it a little bit less of the outside area so people can't brawl as much there. I don't really know, but it definitely seemed weird to me. So that stood out to me from the very beginning, and I was trying to figure that out throughout the entire match if that was going to come into play. One thing that bugged the hell out of me here was that the cage was barely a factor. And of course, they did the usual thing that I've been talking about for weeks now, which is how often can you just grab somebody's face, throw them into the cage, pick them up, ram them into the cage, the standard kind of shit that we see in every single Hell in a Cell match. Not a big fan of that. And I wasn't a big fan of this match in general. Why do you have a kendo stick under the ring? It makes no sense at all. Why do you, on top of that, use a kendo stick on a guy who's wearing a vest and hit him in the vest? If you're going to hit him in the head, hit him in the arm, the leg, anything other than that. Now, of course, it makes sense to do that if you don't want to have people get hurt, but why am I supposed to believe that that hurts Roman Reigns just as much as it hurts Rusev when Rusev has no protective gear on? I hate it. Roman Reigns needs to get rid of that vest for a multitude of different reasons. One, it's tired, it's old Shield stuff. Change your character up a little bit. At least make it look different. You know, we were talking before about doing some kind of a Samoan thing. Do that if you really want to keep some kind of a vest thing. Or if it's more just to, like, block what his chest looks like, which I don't really know why that's necessarily the case, give him some kind of, like, a singlet thing. Don't give him a flak jacket thing going on, because that just doesn't make any sense when it comes to these things. Kendo stick to the vest shouldn't hurt him at all. So that threw me out of it. And it always throws me off a little bit when the crowd just doesn't enjoy something. And you can tell that people were just disappointed that Rusev didn't win here. He wasn't going to. So I'm not surprised. And I like both Roman Reigns and Rusev to a certain extent. I like Roman Reigns more, so I was actually kind of happy that he won. But when the crowd boos and that's not what they're supposed to necessarily do, it does take away a little bit of it. So WWE, I'm sure, is just a little bit annoyed that people aren't cheering. I'm a little bit annoyed that people aren't cheering, because then it just, you know, takes me out of the moment, makes me realize that I'm going against the grain in that kind of way, and I'm not trying to be different, but I like to play along at least a little bit. I'll boo or I'll cheer, depending on who I like, and I can't criticize that. But when there's a babyface that's being pushed and WWE refuses to acknowledge that he isn't going over with the crowd, then it does drain a little bit if the crowd isn't kind of, you know, bending a little bit to WWE's will. So I don't endorse just blindly following what WWE have to say. But at the same time, if it's going to make everybody else have a worse time, maybe, you know, cool down a little bit. I don't know. Either way, I would have booed at the end of this match. I think that this was just not good enough. It's a testament to how Hell in a Cell just isn't the same that it used to be. And I'm glad that it went on first, because then we can kind of upgrade throughout the rest of the night. Although, it took a little bit of time to upgrade, because our next match was Bayley versus Dana Brooke, and I have literally nothing to say about this match. Oh, wait. Dana Brooke's outfit looked better than the one that she had on Monday Night Raw. So, yay. There was, like, I have really no notes whatsoever. I can't remember anything that happened in it. And I was paying attention, too. It wasn't like I was busy. This was just a filler match. And I'm glad that they had the match, because I was saying before that they felt like they needed to have that match because they had that terrible arm wrestling thing, but I really just don't care about this match. And the same thing kind of applies to the match that followed it, which was Enzo and Cass against Anderson and Gallows. Although for that one, at the very least, I can talk about how horrible that promo was beforehand. Enzo and Cass are better than this. Cass on his own usually used to be not as good as when he was with Enzo, and they had, like, the whole, you know, back and forth thing going on. But he's been really shitty as of late. I don't know if that's, like, a self-esteem problem, or if it's that they're not giving him anything, or what, but Cass, I mean, he needs to step up his game. He was doing great. And he was actually kind of, like, on par with Enzo, sometimes getting even better lines than Enzo. Now he's just kind of repeating something Enzo said earlier and then telling them, tell it, Zo. And Enzo, I mean, your A-game tonight was to call them Andy and the Big Gal. The Big Gal, okay, I can kind of buy into that a little bit. It's sort of funny. Andy, what is funny about that? I hated this promo. I thought that it was the worst promo I've seen them cut probably ever, or at the very least, in a long, long while. I didn't like this at all. I thought that was really bad. And the match was utterly forgettable. I don't remember anything about it other than Anderson and Gallows winning, which is a good thing, but at the same time, it's not good enough to rehab them. So, again, skip it. You didn't need to watch it, which is a shame. I like all four guys, and I feel like it was pointless. Hopefully, though, and not hopefully, thankfully is the word I'm going for. Thankfully, the match that followed this one is one of the best matches of the night. I think it was the best match. It was the Universal Championship Hell in a Cell match. Take a huge step forward when Kevin Owens and Seth Rollins did a lot more than I expected them to do. I thought they were going to play it safe because of Seth Rollins having that injury recently, but they did so much more in this match. And the table spot powerbomb thing, that is already on par or above anything else as far as spots for this year for me. I thought that was really cool. the fire extinguisher on the referee had me cracking up. I thought that was fantastic. And it was a great way to get Jericho to enter the ring, too, because they needed to figure out a way to get Jericho involved. And I knew that he was going to have to come in here somewhere because he didn't have a match anywhere else on the card. So having him enter the cell instead of just doing something on the outside, even better. Then they had the powerbomb through the two chairs. Good way to end the match. Not only does it sort of piggyback a little bit on the injury, which makes sense, but why wouldn't that be the end of a match? I mean, a powerbomb is bad enough as it is. Doing any move on chairs is going to be a step up. So yeah, I really like this match. Very glad that Kevin Owens retained. Very glad he retained with help from Jericho. Very glad that Seth Rollins didn't look weak at all. All around, very, very good match. Definitely my favorite of the night. Next up following that was the Cruiserweight Championship match. New champion crowned. Brian Kendrick is successful in his match against TJ Perkins. And it wasn't because Perkins laid down and let him win, which that's a good thing too, because that makes Perkins not look like a complete wimp. But he did end up giving up, which helps Brian Kendrick a little bit. Kendrick didn't win this match through any kind of cheating necessarily. He won it by being the smarter man. And that's cool. Going forward, Brian Kendrick's character can change, I think. He did the whole thing with, I don't know if I should be here anymore. This is my last chance. I need this, that kind of thing. Now he's a champion. So now he should have that old Brian Kendrick swagger back. He should be really pompous. You know, he's king of the world again, that kind of a thing. Really digging that. As much as I like TJ Perkins, I was sort of hoping that Kendrick would win because I wanted that little bit of a change. Although Perkins is the future more than Kendrick. So either Kendrick loses the title to Perkins next month at Survivor Series, or I think that that could transition a little bit into Perkins turning heel down the line. So I wouldn't be too shocked if we don't see a new champion for a little bit, and then maybe somebody like Cedric Alexander wins it, or Grand Metalik, or Jack Gallagher, or one of those guys. I think that they can end up winning the title next, and then Perkins can turn heel and beat them for the title. So that's where I'm going to go for the future for now, and I'm very interested to see where they go. And the match itself for the night was pretty interesting, so I enjoyed that all around. Good finish to it, good match, good future, I'm assuming. Thumbs up. Very happy to also see that the New Day retained the championship for the Raw Tag Team Championship match against Cesaro and Sheamus, because I did not want any kind of title change when it came to there. No matter what the scenario, no matter how they would have won, if Cesaro and Sheamus would have won, I would have been pissed. Now, they did win the match, but they won by disqualification, which I'm totally cool with, because that means that they didn't win the titles, which means I think that it's a guarantee now that the New Day keeps those belts and beats Demolition's record, and they deserve it. Because really, you think about it, the New Day had so much going against them. They were a weird-ass gimmick. Tons of people hated it. I loved it from the very beginning. But I was a part of a rare batch of people. I mean, it took a long time before the crowd actually started to get into the New Day. So they went up this huge hill to get to the point where they are now, which is the most over tag team since Team Hell No and The Shield. The best tag team since God knows how long there's been a good tag team like that. They're refreshing in so many different ways. And if you look at a comparison, Demolition, they were great back in a totally different era. If you look at them now, I think that they kind of suck. I mean, they were always kind of like the Road Warrior ripoff team, and they looked like dominatrixes, and it's just really awkward. I don't know. I never really was that big on Demolition. I always just liked their theme song more than anything else. And Crush was better off when he went on his own. I can't really say the same about Repo Man, but I really hope that they do beat that record. And seeing them retain the title here, they didn't need to win the match. They just needed to win, walk out with the championship. So I'm okay with Cesaro and Sheamus winning by DQ. Can kind of drag that storyline along a little bit forward. And I hope that they either they do something where they have the two of them fight each other at Survivor Series to determine who can get a title shot, whether it's the US title or whatever, or they keep them involved with each other as part of the tag team Survivor Series match. I could see that being the most interesting route that they go. Whatever way they go, though, I actually kind of don't want the Cesaro and Sheamus thing to necessarily end tomorrow. I want to see how much further they can go with it. Not too much further. No WrestleMania match. But something. I don't know. So, tag team championship match. The match itself, I don't really remember all that much about it. I do remember some parts were fun. It was better than the Dana, Brooke, and Bailey match. It was better than the Enzo and Cass and Club match. So that's good. Final match of the night was, really? We're already down to the final match. Yeah, I'm breezing through this. The final match of the night was the Raw Women's Championship. So first off, we have to talk about the history making here, because not only was this the first Women's Championship Hell in a Cell match, but they ended the card. So that's a main event that we talked about for years and years and years. And I enjoyed the match quite a bit, although there's one thing I really have to have a gripe about. And, you know, they had botches in this, and botches happen in any match, but the biggest botch of them all wasn't the thing with the table. It was the ending. I don't know why that was chosen for the ending. I don't know if that was something that was, like, off the cuff or what, but I don't think that Charlotte should have won that, and I don't think she should have won it in the way she won it either. I think that there was this overwhelming, huh, kind of thing from the crowd, where they were not necessarily expecting her to win, but also just, that's how she wins, out of nowhere like that? It felt awkward, and I don't know why they chose to do that, but I'm hoping that there's maybe some kind of story that comes out about this afterward. Maybe we find out that, like, an injury happened and they had to call something on the spot or whatever, but it bugs me that this year we've had Charlotte, Sasha, Charlotte, Sasha, Charlotte. And it's not just because I don't really like Charlotte all that much. I just don't understand why they need to keep trading the championship. Sasha won it from Charlotte on Monday Night Raw, and it was this, like, monumental type of thing. And they've shit all over it ever since then. Charlotte had a good run with that title, beating Nikki Bella, who had a good run with that title. Sasha had a terrible run because they decided that she was injured, although they never did the proper testing to find out that she wasn't really that injured. So then they give the championship back to Sasha because she's no longer injured, and then she drops it again? Is it just because they wanted Charlotte to be the one that won the historic match? That's my curiosity. I don't think that right now Charlotte should be the champion. And at the same time, now that she is the champion, I don't know if she should drop the championship. Because they just had this trade-off back and forth, so they're kind of shooting themselves in the foot a little bit. I don't know where they go from here, and it bugs me, because I think that the better call would have been Sasha retaining. It would have been predictable, but I don't think that unpredictability is necessarily always good. I'd rather have the better choice that isn't a shock than a shock for the surprise value and no other value whatsoever. So I'm very disappointed in that ending. I'm very disappointed that they had those botches. I'm disappointed that they did that whole thing at the beginning where they were trying to tease the idea that they weren't going to do the match, because everybody knew that that wasn't going to be a real thing. So why do it, you know? So I was disappointed with all that, but there was a lot that was good in this match. I really liked that they gave them some amped up entrances, because that never would have happened at any other pay-per-view other than WrestleMania, so that was actually kind of cool for them. I'm very, very glad that they actually did go on last, because I think that that was the right call. Very glad that throughout the match, they didn't play it too safe all that much. I thought that they were going to kind of cop out, and they didn't. Very weird that the referee was, like, obsessed with patting Sasha on the head and caressing her face. Anybody else notice that? I know people noticed it when, you know, my group of friends were all getting together talking about it, because every time the referee would go over to Sasha, he'd just, like, caress the left side of her face and stuff. It was really weird. But, yeah, I do think that it was a big mistake with that ending. I think that Sasha should have retained, and I think that they should have gone with some kind of, like, a monumental Boston crowd embraces the champion type of thing. I don't know why they didn't, but we're going to find out on Monday Night Raw if anything ends up happening like that. So very curious to see if we do end up getting some kind of storyline advancements from that. But I don't, out of all things, I don't want to have a big Charlotte promo. can tell you already, if we get Sasha Banks as, like, you know, she's backstage and she's saying, oh, I'm so mad that I lost, or she's in the ring talking about it, and anything leads to Charlotte yapping and yapping and yapping, I'm going to tune out because I can't stand her on the mic. Awful. And I know that they're going to do it. That's the thing. I know they're going to have her do, like, some championship coronation or celebration that she's historic and all this other kind of stuff, but I don't dig Charlotte all that much. I think that she's just blah. And the worst part about her is on the mic, so not looking forward to that at all. That put a sour note at the end of the night, which disappointed me because I was really digging parts of this. And overall, I think that this was kind of a blah pay-per-view. There was one match that was really good, two matches that were pretty good that followed it. And that's about it. I mean, the women's thing is going to be talked about forever, but there was a mistake at the end of the night. The beginning of the night was a lackluster Hell in a Cell match. Then we had those two filler matches. So it's filler and it's weird choices and a great Universal Championship match. So I don't know if I had to give it a 0 to 10. I don't know what I would give it. If I had to give it a 1, 2, and 3 rating like I usually used to do, and maybe I'd give it a 2. Certainly not getting a 3. That's a positive. I don't know if I'd go so far as to give it a 1, but it's a very weak 2, if anything. Maybe it's like a 1.5 or something like that. But I want to know what you guys have to say about this, so leave your comments below on YouTube. If you're listening to this on iTunes or Stitcher, then leave your comments on the SmartCountMoment.com article page itself, or, I don't know, post something on the Facebook or send me a tweet or whatever the hell else you decide to do. You can follow us at SmartCountMoment on Facebook and Twitter. Make sure you subscribe on YouTube if you haven't already. Hit that thumbs up button while you're there as well, because the more thumbs up we get on the videos, the more that it shows up on the search engines and stuff. So the more we show up, the more viewers we get. Same kind of thing as with that cruiserweight stuff that I was talking about earlier. So anything you guys do like that is greatly appreciated, as well as your comments below to keep the discussion going like that. And I think that'll do me in then for this episode. So I want to thank you all for listening, everybody. This has been another Smart Out Moment, and I'm being counted out.